There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
All right. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. This is Andy here in the studio with Jordan. Tony.
What's going on, boys?
And that young man, Johnny.
Hello again. Hi, Mom.
So tonight's episode, we are going to be talking about golf caddies. We've got some caddies lined up to come on the show here in the future. Jordan just rolled his sleeves up.
We're doing like back-to-back recordings here, so I was hoping that like if I change my outfit and then turn the hat around, like when our reels show, people aren't like, oh, that guy wears the same clothes every day.
Yep, that's fair.
Thank you.
So anyway, we're talking about caddies. Both Jordan and I recently caddied for professional golfers in events. Wanted to share a little bit of those experiences, kind of what it was like being on the bag, what it's like caddying. Maybe this episode is useful for your young lad who's thinking about carrying the sticks at the local country club. Maybe it's useful for a player thinking about the things that they look for and like in a caddy.
Or it's useful for the people listening that want a caddy.
Or it's useful for anybody out there that's listening who wants to caddy. So let's start here, guys. I want to do a little round robin. What do you look for in a caddy? And this is a subjective question for you. Tony, why don't you start? I'd love to get a little bit of your thoughts about what you look for. I know you've had a number of great caddies in your day.
For sure.
What have been some of the defining characteristics of those lads?
You know, there's like an age-old adage, right? Like, keep up, shut up, or what is it again? Show up, keep up, and shut up, or something like that. I am anti all of that, right? I'm about having some good vibes with my caddy, enjoying my time, having somebody to banter with, no matter how old, like even if they're like a young kid, I love to talk about their sports or talk about, you know, their game, just to keep my mind off of my own game, because you can't stay concentrating for the entire time. I think having a great caddy makes the experience of golf exponentially better. You know, if you go on a trip to, say, like Stream Song or to Bandon Dunes and you have a great caddy, they can define and create such a great experience that it can be one of the best times of your life with a great caddy. Conversely, I will say, if you have somebody who's not engaged and not in it, like, I'm thinking of a very specific time where I had a caddy one time where gave me wrong numbers like 10 times in a row. So you start arrow mailing greens and they're walking 80 yards behind you and, you know, not watching where your ball goes. And just, I want somebody to be on my team that's pulling for me, that's on my team. We're working together. It's us against everybody else that we're playing with that day, and we're on the same team playing together.
Yeah, I like getting into a process with a guy. You know what I mean? Getting deep into a process.
Like that.
And getting locked in, and I like a guy that's going to chop it up a little bit with me. You know, some of my favorite caddy maybe of all time is Alan, right, from Scotland. We've talked
about him. Sure.
Alan was not afraid to motherfuck me.
Yeah. What the fuck you are you doing, I mean? Andy?
And I love that about Alan.
100%. You
know, Alan doesn't give a shit. But Alan was very convicted with what he was doing. And Alan and I, we got in the process. We got the ball. He gave me the front number. He gave me the flag. Wins off the right. You know? We had a little process going.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like getting into a process with a guy.
Could not agree more. And then you think about, like, the best caddies that I've had is, like, experiences at, like, Bandon, where this is literally what they do for a living. And they can make your day so much better.
Yeah. If you go somewhere to like Bandon and you don't take a caddy, you don't know what you're missing. If you go to Scotland and you don't take a caddy, you're getting half the experience.
Could not agree more.
So Johnny, what about you?
I'm totally on board with everything that was just said. a few like particular things that are just all based on like experiences. I think it's really important when you're playing a place that you're not super familiar with to have a caddy. Mm-hmm. It's important not only for if you want to be successful, but also to have a good time. A lot of times I've played at other places I've never really been and won the experience of, okay, I get to learn a lot more about the history of the course, why this is set up the way that it is, learn just more about the local area to the course. And then obviously when you get to, you know, the greens and you're trying to roll putts, it can just make such a difference having someone give you a little bit of a line or, hey, you might not see this, but be ready for that. The one thing, and I got to give caddies credit because it's tricky to get to know someone really quickly within, you know, one round. You got six holes to figure someone's game out, how they operate, what they respond to. And a lot of people I think are really good at it, but there's been a few instances I've had where, excuse me, you'll get a caddy who's, you know, a really good player. Maybe he's not a doing this for a living. He's just caddying, trying to make some extra bucks. But I've had a few where, and I'd be curious to know if you guys have had this experience too, but where you can tell the caddy almost wishes he was the one playing, where, you know, they'll, like I've had them take clubs out of my bag and like swing the shot. Like, mm-hmm. okay, this is what I would do. Or like, you know, after you yeah. mess up and hit a bad shot, they're like, you should have done this. And
yeah, I don't like the swing tip caddy.
Yeah. They're like,
take a lap, bud.
Like I'm not a great player, but I literally have had guys like trying to change my swing mid round.
Yeah,
and it's like, dude,
that.
I'm not here for that. Yeah. Like I appreciate it. Cause a lot of times they're trying to help and they want you to succeed, but
yeah,
you got to know when and when not to do that.
So Johnny, can we tie a bow on that?
Yeah.
Unsolicited advice.
100%
caddies. Like, and unsolicited thoughts, generally a no-no. Generally,
I agree.
No-no.
Yeah, because you're right.
Unless requested.
I like to know, 100%. For example, on a hole where the miss is.
100%.
So I'll ask, like, where's the best place to miss it?
And
like, so if we get in a groove and a caddy's gonna be, hey, you don't want to miss it right, I'm cool with that.
100% agree.
But I don't like the unsolicited, like.
Dude, like I had a guy when I was out at Pebble who I was hitting the ball. Like I hit the ball pretty high. It's pretty spinny, whatever. He's like, dude, you need to be hitting it a lot lower today. Like you need to be punch-shotting everything. No. And I'm like, dude.
Do
like,
I look like a guy that can flight it lower, man?
I'm out on that.
So I'm like, it's just come like, on. Dude, I didn't ask. Like you said, I think that's a great line to draw. But two, it's like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah.
So that's all I would say. But again, I got to give caddies credit because it's easy to say, and you know, you're trying to get to know someone, you want them to do well. So I'm sure that's a part of it. But yeah, I think it's just kind of like Tony said, just getting to know someone, know their game, get into the battle with them. I love having them on my team, on my side. We're grinding together. I think that's super fun. And I love playing with a caddy, but you just got to be careful.
So while we're on that, before we get to Jordan, another caddy pet peeve. I'm going to share a little side note story here. Until I had Allen number two in Scotland, Gullen Allen. But I don't know if you guys have ever gotten the rangefinderless caddy.
Ooh, yes.
Just feeling it.
The guy who's like, no, I know all the numbers. And he's like walking everything off and like, buddy, it's 2023 here. All right, we got technology. Let's mix in a rangefinder. Okay, but so that was like a big pet peeve of mine. And then I had Alan, and this is heavy accent Alan, like Scottish Alan, the one I took videos of. We might share it on social.
Yeah.
Alan, we get down the first hole at Gullen, and Alan does not have a rangefinder, and I hand him mine. I go, yeah, you can use mine. And he like looks at me like I just tried to stab him in the throat. And he goes, no, I don't use the rangefinder. And I was like, okay. Fuck. My guy, Alan, like looks to his left and sees like a little, you know, whatever. And he's like, yep, 156 flag. I shoot it, 157. All right, we're kind of playing with some peanut oil here. We get like six holes in, dude. My guy has not given me a number off of 2 yards that's wrong yet.
Wow.
And he's not. Is he pacing stuff off or is he just
dude. He's done a little bit of pacing. I blew one right on like, I think it was number 9. I don't remember. But I blew one maybe 100 yards right, like in the fescue. And we get over there and he goes, yeah, you got 214 flag. And I'm like, dude. I'm like, Alan, there's no fucking way you've ever had this shot. And no, and he goes, no, I know that bush right there. He goes, I've been out here. I know that bush. That bush is 212 to the middle. Pin is plus two. I'm looking at the sheet, 214 flag.
Dude.
And I'm like, Alan, this is the most absurd thing ever, but I'm going to get out and shoot this. And this is going to be 246. Like, you're not even close. I shoot it. I swear to God, 214 stick.
On the number.
Dude, it was unbelievable.
You know who does that at Windsong that, like, low-key kind of does it? Oh. It's Beef.
Yeah.
Dude, Beef, like, every, he just knows
He knows the numbers.
And then he knows the second that the ball comes off your club face to where it is. And like every single time.
There's a couple guys out there that, you know, they rely heavily on the pin sheet. And they're, you know, they just kind of been, you know, they've been there for 20 years or whatever it has been. And know the shots for sure.
Mr. Hagel, what do you look for in a caddy?
Yeah, I'm gonna preface this by saying, like, the first thing I always do is try and feel out how good the caddy is, because I will change, you know, my interactions with them 2-3 holes in. Like, you know, we're trying to grow the program at Windsong, so I've had caddies that are literally like, you know, their first or second time out, and I'm like, okay, like, this is, to your point, Tony, like, going to learn and kind of grow like this kid. And it's like a mentorship type thing. Like, I'm still playing golf, but it's going to be a little bit different. Good caddies, like the ones that I really enjoy and really like if I'm paying top dollar and playing at like a nicer club, biggest thing for me is that they're better than me. And I love picking the brains of like guys that are better than me and like can just tell me like, this is, you know, this is what I want you to do. Cause I'm the guy that'll ask. I'll be like, hey man, like, tell me everything here. Walk me through your process. And it's just really interesting to see what they do and like what they're looking for first and stuff that I just never even thought about. And I feel like I think about a lot of stuff on the golf course. So when I find, you know, a guy or gal that's a better golfer than me and then is on the bag with me, that's like when I get really excited. And then to your point, Andy, like going through like a cadence or kind of like a rhythm with them,
yeah.
Process every hole. And then the third thing that I love is the, who's here?
Oh, Jamie Roo just walked in the podcast
sweet
live
Jamie
on
Roo.
Air. Grab a chair, buddy. Throw on a headset. Here? Come on in.
Jay Roo.
Jamie. Well, we have a very applicable conversation that we
Jamie,
need you to
live
engage
the life
in.
You love. Love the life you live, my guy.
You're looking thin,
throw
brother.
Throw on the headset.
Hey. Okay, so I'll wrap this up because we're just gonna have to let
Jamie talk.
This is
a great surprise.
You're gonna go straight in. I guess there wasn't a dress code tonight, huh?
No. Oh no, we were just talking about that,
Jamie. We're talking about caddies
and what we like.
Jamie
like
caddied for a guy that almost won the Transmiss.
Well, here, let me finish this off. I do have one more, and then we can all.
I got asked to caddy today in the 3M, but I was out of town.
No
we,
way.
We can all talk about our caddies.
Who's back?
Gallagher.
He qualified.
Did he really?
No, I'm saying he.
I don't know.
He played the Monday.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know. I thought you were implying that he did qualify.
No.
I hope he did. That would be awesome.
It would have been cool.
The last piece is taking your advice from. Yeah, I didn't want that. Is think box play box?
Yes.
So like with my caddy, I'm very like think box, talk box, or like think box, and then we can talk about whatever else. So like usually, as we're getting close to the ball, you know, say like 10 yards away. Mm-hmm. Now we get in the think box, like, all right, what do we got here? We're pulling out clubs and all this stuff. And then once the shot's done, talk about it real quick. And then we have another, you know, 200-yard walk where it's just whatever. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
Yeah, I agree.
One of my favorites.
Jamie, I'm excited to hear your point here about your experiences with your caddies. You play a lot of golf at a lot of really amazing places.
With caddies.
And so what are some of the key aspects of a great experience with a caddy, and talk to us a little bit about how soon in a round you can identify like, hey, this is going to be a great day.
I'm so mixed on this because I've stuck for a long time from making sure that, you know, whomever I'm with, like they've having a great time kind of thing. And that's still part of the deal. But I've gotten to Windsong, whenever I call out there now, I always say I want someone big and quiet.
big and quiet.
You shaved.
Yeah, I did.
That's
shave
what
too.
It is.
It looks weird.
Like, yeah.
Hello. Also, why are you here?
Johnny's got one of my cars. Came to get my car.
So big and quiet.
There's beer here. I've only had one guy where he got kicked off the course. He was a total dry drunk at Whistling Straits. Crabby as fuck right from the beginning.
No way.
And you're just like,
you
get out of here.
You got kicked off the course mid-round?
Like me, I kicked him off.
Oh, yeah, you're like, you're
off
done.
The back.
Like, you're
can
done.
You see me doing that?
You doing that?
Yes.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Wait, what happened?
He was just an asshole.
He was just a dick.
Yeah, just like comments and things and bitching and things. And I'm like, dude, this is not about you. Get the fuck out.
You mm-hmm. broke up with him mm-hmm. mid-round. Mm-hmm.
What hole were you on?
Oh, gosh. Third hole?
Oh my God. Take a that hike. Fast?
Yeah. So, like,
thousand yards.
I've never, never.
Take a lap, buddy.
Never.
I mean, that's
we've
early.
Had great experiences. I think, like, you know, I like some of the historian stuff. You guys are a lot better than I am. But when I played down in Georgia, one of the guys was a total historian, and he took us through everything. And that was really cool. Caddies that are funny.
Funny is the best.
Is super important. And then guys that give good numbers. The most important thing is guys that can read putts. Like, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Not the guys that are like, don't do this, don't do that. Like, Berkey's obviously awesome. J.J. Butler's awesome because he's incredible at reading putts. But otherwise, just get with the vibe. It's like a golf instructor that makes it about them. Caddies that, like, guys that pull clubs for me without saying it, fucking hate that.
Yeah.
Like, here, hit this club.
Yeah, like, without even telling me. I'm like, I need to process and understand it. Otherwise, I can't ever hit a good shot.
Yeah, we were just saying before you walked in is that me personally, I like to have somebody who is like, I feel like they're on my team. We're pulling the same direction. He's not telling me what to do. I'm not telling him what to do. We're having a conversation, coming up with a plan, and kind of going about it and
that's
just having
the only
a good time.
Thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, except like, and I know you've been to Scotland and the Scottish guys are betting against you.
Oh,
or
God,
your own caddy's betting against you.
I think they're
right?
The best, though. They're my favorite for sure. I mean, I was telling before you walked in, I was talking about one of my guys that was rangefinderless and knew every number.
Did he really?
Yeah. Rangefinderless is kind of a pet peeve for a caddy because I was saying 2023, like, get with the program. You know what I mean?
We had a dude at Whisper Rock that was like, kept giving numbers and we're missing the number, And it turns out he was one of those guys where it was in meters rather than yards.
Oh, shit, yeah.
You guys ever had that happen?
Yes, I have had that.
I don't know how to change it. To do.
My dad has a story about a guy that...
By the way, your dad was cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
I wish we could have hung out more.
I wish
that
so, too. Yeah, he's cool. He shot 72 on Saturday.
Wow.
He's playing good, yeah.
He took that dude, picture, like, dude. He just looks like a golfer.
He nukes it.
Has he shot his age?
I bet your dad can hang, too, can't he?
Oh,
he can hang.
My God. Yeah. He can totally hang.
Has he shot his age?
He can tell stories.
Your dad and my father, if they were together, would have just been
a mess. I actually thought about that, too. Yeah. My dad, yeah, it's funny. My dad is like an exact hybrid of you, like, combined beef and Jim Lehman, which is the most absurd statement ever. But, like,
it's a
he's
great
got
combo.
A little bit of both in him. Both in him. So, anyway... but no, we all hung out and told stories, and Beef was going about, told some amazing baseball stories, and it was just funny. It was a good time.
Nice for your dad to see that environment.
Oh, too, yeah. Yeah. It made me happy. Yeah. The story he has, though, and so this is a good golfing pet peeve, which is and this might conflict a little bit with yours, Jordan, but it's the caddy that has to tell you how good he is. Talk about his game all day. Yeah, I'm a this, I'm a that. My dad had one of those one day at Kinloch. And this guy, he said this guy was going on and on all day about how good he is. And he's +3. And I would have hit this shot there. And I would have done this. And finally, this is very my dad. He on the 16th hole, he goes, you know what? I'm tired of listening to your fucking ass all day. And my dad hands him the club and goes, why don't you hit it?
The guy
is left-handed. Okay, +3. He's left-handed. He takes my dad's right-handed club. He flips it upside down, 7-iron. And he hits it to 2 feet.
Shut up.
I swear to God. And my dad goes, you know what? You can talk all you want. Go ahead and run your mouth the rest of the day. I'm happy to listen to this.
I love caddying. We've talked about this.
Yeah,
a little
bit. That's what we're going to get into.
Yeah,
Like having to walk around and listen to some guy fucking bitch all day. You know, I've never played so bad. I don't know what's going on. I mean, that would get so old. There's not enough weed in the world for me at that point.
Yeah.
I would be that stoner caddy 100%.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Nice shot. Hell yeah, man.
Totally yeah, bro.
Hell yeah.
It's such a good temperature out right now.
Well, so we were just about to talk about caddying because Andy caddied for Siegel and I caddied for Angus.
And so, Jamie's caddied for Angus multiple times.
Multiple times.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I called you the night before to get the, hey, walk me through, like, what's he like?
So did you talk to Angus about what he liked, or did you talk to Jamie about
I only talked
Angus
to Jamie.
Liked.
Okay. I just showed up when he wanted me to show up, you know, asked
Angus
him if there was anything.
Angus is so easy to caddy for.
Yeah,
though.
Dude, it was like playing a video
okay,
game.
So I feel like the first step to caddying is understand your player archetype.
Can you define archetype for me?
Just like John Rahm runs hot. Spieth likes to chat with his caddy all day. Sure. Talk through every shot.
Jamie gave me a good, like, you what, know, we talked for like 15
so
minutes.
So what was Angus's archetype?
He's so good. It was almost like you're there to support him because he knows exactly what he wants to do and he can execute it. And I was more there, like, just making him comfortable.
Be supportive.
Be supportive. If he asked, I would tell him, you know, type of caddy. It was just like, it was like you were playing a legit video game. Mm-hmm. Like, he would say things that he was about to do, and I was just thinking in my head, like, man, there's no way. I can't let him do this. And then he would do it, and I was just like, this is why you don't say anything, Jordan. You just hand him the club and say, hey, good swing.
That's pretty much it. I mean, it's like being a professional salesman, though. It's, you know, personality matching. You know, without even knowing Andy, how to deal with a person. But him, what I thought was so cool is watching him verbalize this process and what was going to happen. And he was so chill about it. You think those guys would get in those situations where they'd be like all tight and pushing. And he's like, I'm going to do this. If it goes, great. If it doesn't go, I'll have this, and this is what I'll have left. I'm like, boom, every time. So that, he's easy to caddy for.
Yeah, and he when he tells you you're doing it out loud, it's just like he said, and I'll go back to it. It's almost like,
well, it's talking.
I can't believe he's about to do this. I'm just gonna watch and be like, you know, he had a couple of shots like that, and even on 18, like he wasn't having a great day, and he was trying to shoot a number on the back, and he had to get up and down for birdie, and he kind of it was rough, it was really thick, and he shot it over the green, you know, into the rough. He goes, God, all right, could have had some back, whatever, you know. Steps up, takes the same wedge, and holds it, jars it, hits like this like flop shot from, and just like you could tell it was just like, yeah, it was like it was meant to be. Like, he just, everything he was talking and doing that day was just all about this goal, and he just went out and talked through all of it, and it was sweet.
So what I was going to say is, like, that's kind of a good lesson for players, is to like talk it into existence, right? So like you're talking to your caddy, positive vibes, you're talking about what you're going to do, what you're going to execute. As a caddy, caddying for somebody, you always want somebody that's positive, right? You don't want somebody saying, don't hit it over there. You want somebody that says, I'd like to see you hit a little cut over on the left side.
Yeah.
Or good whatever.
Vibes is important.
Good vibes. And then, like you said, like, so this wasn't a pro-am too. Like, it wasn't a legit, you know, well, obviously it's a legit round. They're still playing for money in an event. But it was a pro-am. So he's dealing with amateurs in his group, right?
Yep.
And I could tell, like, that part was difficult. He's really trying to, you know, put up a good score. He's won this event before, like, come back. And he's also trying to appease, you know, the amateurs that are, you know, paying to play an event and play with him. And so I was trying to, like, manage that. I was also trying to help the players because I could tell, like, then it gave him a little bit more time to concentrate. So it was, yeah, it was fun. I don't know if he even said
anything. So we're going to, this anything, is breaking but. News. We're going to call Ben Siegel right now.
And, you can get people on the phone here. Yeah,
and we're gonna, he's going to give me—he's going to give me an on-air performance review in the open.
Is this a grade A through F?
Hello.
Yo,
Siegel, you're on the pod.
Let's go.
Can you guys hear him? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I can hear him. He can't hear us though, right?
No.
Can you? It just sounds like you guys are on speakerphone.
What's up, Benny?
Hey, Ben.
So, who's that?
It's Jamie Rue.
Jamie, is he on the pod? Is he this week's episode?
He's,
yes,
he's one. He's just co-hosting this week.
There's
a side story about that with Jordan that we might get into later. But so
what
Siegel,
Johnny? Johnny's here.
Yeah, he just threw up the peace sign to you.
He should be a full time guy, in my opinion.
He is. He's touched. So Siegel, we're looking for a live on air performance evaluation from me on the bag in the State Open. Go.
Well, Andy did a hell of a lot better than I played. So, Andy was honestly nails. He showed up in a bucket hat, sun sleeves. I think he had New Balance shoes on. He dressed the part well, that's for sure. And he caddied well. So,
that's good.
On the detail.
Yeah, and Benny, what do you look for in a caddy? We're kind of talking about this on live on air. We're talking about caddying tonight. That's the subject of the episode. Like, what are things as a professional that you look for and things that you like in a caddy?
Yeah, I mean, for me and a lot of pros, we all talk about this. Finding the right caddy is really hard because everyone's so kind of specific in what they want. And a caddy, for some players like me specifically, I can get mad at a caddy really fast, and something that I've had to work on.
We have stories about that. Don't worry.
It's the smallest thing, you know, the smallest things that a caddy can say that can just piss you off at the wrong time. For me, I just like caddies that keep it light, keep it loose, stick to my routine. Something that I always work on is staying patient, someone that helps me do that. And for me, I think to do that is just by keeping it loose and having fun in between shots, kind of getting away from the golf course in between shots. Then when you get over, you know, you get to the ball, then start going into your routine. But so I've had guys that are super serious and, you know, I could tell that they're uncomfortable in uncomfortable situations, which just doesn't help for me. So I think for me, and I think a lot of players would say the same, it's just find a guy that keeps it fun and, you know, knows what to say and when to say it. And that's very dependent on the player that they're caddying for.
Yeah, you got to get to know your guy well because you need to know, like, what his triggers are, right?
Right, right.
We also know that Andy had the right fit when he was there. He looked the part. I know that.
He did look the part. And you saw his Instagram post. He quoted Steve Williams.
I need to ask Siegel. We're like in the circle of trust, and we're all friends. Can you ask him, did you say anything that pissed him off?
So, Benny, did I say anything that pissed you off?
No. No, I don't think
he
so.
Thought a long time about
no,
that.
No, I didn't say anything, but we will talk about something I did that was dumb. But all right, Benny. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Thanks, Siegel.
See you, Benny.
Later,
see you,
Benny.
All right, take love care. You, buddy. Bye.
For context for our audience, Ben Siegel, arguably the best player at Winsong or up there.
Definitely up there. You know, PGA Tour Latino America current participant.
Probably like a plus six.
Ben Siegel.
Yeah. So I got on his bag in the open. The first thing I did was understand the player archetype. I talked to Benny. I said, hey, Benny, what are you looking for in a caddy? What are the things you'd like? He said, he said all those same things. I like to keep it light. I like to have fun. I like to have a good time. So I showed up with my sun sleeves on, the bucket hat. I had some nails, sunglasses on, New Balance dad shoes.
And all of that was to keep it light.
All
to
of
keep
that
it
was
fun.
To keep it light and keep it fun. Like that yeah. was, if Ben hadn't told me that, I would have just shown up and dressed as a normal person.
Yeah.
But I was trying to play the part. I was trying to have a good time. And so I feel like I did that well. Again, it's just about knowing your guy. And you know, that's actually a very interesting thing about caddies. What's the number one skill set of a caddy? Is it green reading, as Jamie said? I think that's very important. Is it knowing the golf course? I think that's very important. You know what I'm going to argue the number one characteristic is of a caddy?
Yeah, how well they know
emotional intelligence.
Yeah, emotional. Yeah, how well they know
their ability to read the room.
Yes,
and know what to say and when to say it. Look, Benny runs a little hot on the golf course. There are times where he got mad at me, and like he said. The reason it's sort of a coping mechanism for him because it's like it needs to be someone's fault that I hit a bad shot, not mine.
Right.
and so it's actually like a tool for him to play better golf is to like be like, what was the wind doing? You know, or whatever. And he doesn't mean it like in a bad way, but like it's actually how he kind of copes with like his round. So now if I couldn't read the room, I didn't have the emotional intelligence, maybe I'd start arguing with him. Maybe I'd start saying mother effing him, right? Instead, I'm like, I just wear it, and I realize it's not personal to me. Like he's just in his thing and in his process.
You're unique though, Andy. There's a lot of guys that like you can strip your ego out, unlike other people though.
Mm-hmm.
I think other guys would have gotten probably a little tweaked or to use the current word triggered.
Right.
That's good on you.
But that is a caddy trait though too. Ego, no ego, right?
I also think that's part of Andy's emotional intelligence in that he was forward thinking enough that he asked Ben what to expect and what he likes to have.
Oh, Ben told you he might lose it every once in a while?
He said that a little bit. He said mainly that like he just wants to have fun and like he wants somebody that's going to keep it light and wants somebody that's going to keep his clubs clean and carry the bag and give him good. And there were like, look, we got more and more comfortable with each other and into the process. There was a point on the third day where like we had a moment and we were on a par five. Ben had, I'll never forget it. He had 183 stick to a back left or a front left, middle left pin. And I I pulled the 7-iron out and handed it to him, and he goes, "It's an 8." And I go, "Ben, it's not an 8." And like, I just, it was kind of one of those moments. Like, my goal for the week was like, I'm not going to get in Ben's way. He's a professional golfer.
He
like,
literally pays his bills.
He pays his bills from playing golf. Like, I don't know anything, but like, you could see like, okay, this is the value of having someone is because like, it was not an 8. Like, I knew that. I'd watched him play for 3 days. Like, he wasn't making 8 as a decision. It was the wrong decision. And like, he, you know, when you're caught up in a competitive round, it's easy to make the wrong decision. Like, it's easy to, you know, whatever. And I said, it's a 7, dude. I hand him the 7. He's like, are you sure it's a 7? I'm like, it's a 7, bro. Hit the 7, like 100%. And he hits it to 3 feet. And that was all. I was like, when it was in the air, I was like, if this goes long, I'm going to run off the golf course. But I just knew it was a 7. Like, I knew it was a 7. So anyway, my goal was to not do that all week. But once you're in it with a guy and you're in a process, like, you can see where caddies add value because you are, like, you're an objective set of eyes. Like, I know he can't hit he's not going to hit an 8-iron to that flag. And I know the 7's not going long. Like, but you're, as a player, you're not objective. You're subjective. You're in it, right? Mm-hmm. And so having someone that's completely removed, and I tried to have that, like, I don't care what Ben shoots. You kind of have to have that attitude a little bit, like, you know, and just be as objective as possible. So the whole takeaway for me was it was a very interesting experience of seeing it from and seeing how kind of good those guys are on like, it is a unique profession and it's a very unique skill set. And those guys are like really good at what they do.
And you have to be able to, at a very, very critical moment, be willing to, in some cases on tour, stake your career on it.
Yeah.
Because if you give them the wrong number, they might say, this is your last tournament.
To like take this level deeper too and like take it beyond golf, like, man, what a fun and great way to grow up and like learn to like all the things that I learned when I was caddying in terms of like you said, emotional intelligence, creating a bond with like the players that you're caddying for.
Yep.
There's a lot of cool things that go into caddying that, you know, if I could do it all over again, like, man, that'd be such a cool thing to do. And
manners.
I hope, yeah. Manners,
disposition.
You know, yeah. Like, being polite, but also being like cool and funny. And I just think like, when I'm older, you know, if I'm lucky enough to have kids and they, you know, decide they want to get into golf, like caddying is
really cool way. And you know, another thing that's really, really cool is, we've been talking about this. You mentioned about how good a caddy can be. Some of the caddies on the PGA Tour are legit unbelievable golfers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable players.
Is there one person you can think of right now that you can use as an example?
Well, I'm having a little breaking news here, and I feel like you should be the person to share this.
Go. No, it's crazy. It came up.
Carry on.
Well, so of the guys that qualified today,
we're talking about the 3M championship.
Yeah, Fields qualified.
Who's this?
He apparently didn't need me on his bag. Alex Gallagher shot 6-under, qualified for the 3M. I'm like,
oh, wow.
I talked to him last night, I'm like, he's like, you want a caddy? I'm like, I can't. I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm like, what's Eric doing? He's like, well, Eric's playing. I'm like,
not Monday.
Yeah, exactly. So who's going to loop for Eric now that he's playing the event?
Wow. That's a good question,
right?
Yeah.
But think about that. That's a life-changing opportunity for
6-under. So of the guys that some dude, D. Gale.
Yeah, shot 11.
11. Wow. But for Fields, Fields is legit.
Yeah.
He can pound it. He hit one on 12, 355.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of ball speed that Tony has. Yeah. Smashed. Not exactly that. Smashed. And high, and he knows his shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, how cool is that?
It's amazing.
Really cool. Congrats.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing for him. Yeah, so Alex Gallagher, Eric Van Rooyen's caddy. They were teammates at the University of Minnesota. And it just kind of, I think their relationship is one of those ones that they just trust each other. They're willing to say the hard thing to each other because they're such good 100%. Friends. They've known each other for so long. And on the golf course, Alex is willing to tell Eric it's an 8-iron versus a 6-iron.
And those guys definitely get in the zone.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be able to break through that a little bit.
Yeah.
And his only motivation is to help Eric, so it's great.
Right.
Well, he's a great dude.
One thing before we move on totally off of it, I wanted to share that was a little bit eye-opening to me in terms of understanding some of the nuances of caddying. and kind of how good these guys are. Even and forget the tour, even your professional caddy at Bandon Dunes, right? So Benny hit one right on a par five. It was like the first bad driver swing he made all week. I mean, he was driving it on a freaking string. It was unbelievable. And his process was he liked to get a target off the tee. So I walked with him every box. I would say at the tree, right, or at the telephone pole. And we pre-picked the targets in a practice round. Or he'd ask, he'd say, at the tree, Andy? I'd say, yep, at the tree, Ben, right at that. So he liked to kind of have the focus of a target. And he hit a wipey kind of right one in the trees, and it was up on a fence. And I knew, like, he probably had one of two plays. One was advance the ball forward, and he had about a 30-yard wide gap in the trees. And he had to hit it 100 yards or so and, like, punch it kind of low. And the second was to come out sideways. Based on what I saw, it didn't look like he had a backswing to hit it sideways. So I preemptively walked up to the gap in the trees and shot the pin and where the fairway was to try to figure out what the layup was. And I walked back and gave him that number. And in doing so, I really influenced him to hit that shot. And that was not the shot. He should have come out left. And I didn't really realize that he had a backswing. And so that was kind of something that was like, geez, like, that's really interesting. Like, I kind of put it in his mind, if you will, like that was the shot to play, even though, like, I was just trying to give him information. Like, what I should have done is gotten to the bag and said, what are you thinking here? And he should have said, well, I got to come out left, and then gone through the process of, okay, yep, 100 yards to get to there. So that's like I wasn't trying to get him to hit that shot necessarily. Like, I didn't have any agenda of what shot to hit. We didn't even have a conversation of like, that's the shot you're going to hit. And I wasn't like, I think you should hit that. But that was really interesting of seeing, like, okay, like, if I do this again, that's a learning experience of, like, ask him first, like, hey, what are you thinking before I, you know, do anything? Because you don't really want to, like, you want it to be his day. You'd really want to minimize, like, influencing your guy.
And they see different stuff than we do. As much as we think we see it,
that's right,
they totally see different stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Live and learn. Love.
All right, we're gonna wrap this one up. I do have a final closer.
Wait,
what do you?
Wait! I just got here.
We got another episode. What do you?
You're gonna like the next.
What
one.
Do you guys? question. I want to talk about this because this is the nitty gritty sticky stuff people don't talk about. What do you guys pay your caddies?
It depends on their experience. Or? It depends on if they're if they're just getting started. If they're like a high school kid. If they're a pro.
You get a legit caddy to play around the golf as an amateur. What do you pay your guy? I have an answer. You want me to go?
Sure. Sure.
I need you to go.
My rate flexes between $100 and $180. $100 is like did not like the guy. I did not have a good day. That's the minimum viable payment.
I agree.
I'll go up to $160, $180 if I really like
all in. All in.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I really like a guy, I'll go to like $160, $180. It's expensive, but I think it's the right thing to do. I don't know. I mean, Jamie's going to be like,
no.
I think I
should almost just abstain from this part of the conversation because I tend to overpay.
I know you do. What do you typically pay a guy?
I think you have another episode coming
abstinence,
up. Right?
Abstinence is the best possible.
Is that a fair rate range, you think?
For me personally?
What's the base rate?
$100 is the base rate.
Yeah, you're doubling what they get. So how I kind of justify it is, so $25 an hour is $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to spend 4 hours with me. And I know he's not working 40 hours a week. Maybe he is. At $200, do the math.
Yeah.
Right? And that's mm-hmm. that's pretty decent. Like, would I pay this person $50 an hour to spend time with me?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And if they're super talented, you know, Tony Schuster, I paid in advance for a week for Jackson when he played in the, what was that thing he played in? Junior Am. Because Tony knows that course like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
And he's excellent.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, I personally think, let's say Bandon, we're just talking about that. If you're going to have the same caddy for, you know, 4 to 8 rounds of golf, it's probably going to be more like, just $150 a round and just pay him, settle up at the end of the day, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
I think that's a fair rate. I do. I think you don't pay a guy less than $100 ever.
As a pro jogger, if they're a seventh grader and it's their second time caddying, you're probably not going to pay him $100, but right, you might pay him $40 or something.
All right. And to close us out, Bill O'Reilly, remember, And to close us out from
okay,
Bill O'Reilly. What was it? What did he say? And to close us out. What does that even mean? Anyway. All right. Thanks for listening, folks.
All right. Later.